You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. First of all, greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, my brothers and sisters around the world. It's good to be back this week, and I think I have a message that will connect the dots, as all the messages seem to be doing. These shows seem to be going in sequence and in a correct manner, too. The title of this week's message is 10 Planks of Insanity. Now, of course, you know about the 10 planks of communism, and that's where we will discuss the 10 planks. So one thing I wanted to mention to you, as you're on a search for the truth, and more people today are, you must have the correct biblical perspective in order to understand the truth as a whole. Many people, in the so-called truth movement, are finding out some of the aspects of truth and some of the things that are going on in the world, but they're really not understanding it fully because they don't have the correct biblical perspective. Once you have the correct biblical perspective, you will begin to understand the whole picture. In other words, it'll complete the whole picture. It's like, truth is light. And there are many spectrums to light. Light is frequency, and there are many frequencies to light. So those that are searching for the truth are seeing some of the spectrums of light. But if they don't have this most important spectrum, they're not getting the whole picture, and they're not seeing the truth as it really is. Yes, there is a new world order, and yes, there are organizations like the Illuminati and Tentacles of the Beast, but the name must be put on it. It's the Jews, plain and simple. It's the Jews. The Jews are the new world order. The Jews are the Illuminati. Also, when you're on a search for the truth, you may not like what you find. You know, you're out searching for the truth about the world around you and also about yourself. You may not like what you find out about yourself. You might not like what you're finding out about the world and who's responsible for what's going on in the world. Let me tell you something that is very important to know. I hope you're not silly enough to think that the world just turned out this way. If you believe that the world just progressed into its current situation without the guiding hand of the devil and his literal offspring, then you are seriously, you better reassess your intellectual capabilities. Because the world didn't just happen this way. It's not happenstance. It's been guided carefully, incrementally, gradually, to be in the progression that it is in. You may not like how the truth turns out. When I went on this truth hunt, I never would have thought it was the Jews. I wasted a lot of time. Not totally wasted, but, when you first get out there, you hear it's the New World Order. And, you know, I never fell for the, you know, the government thing. I knew it was controlled by somebody. It's not even real. The government isn't even real, and the government really isn't in charge. When you have a central bank and a country like America, the Corporation of America, is bankrupt. And has been bankrupt for a long time. So therefore, it only looks like the government is running the country, the corporation. It really isn't running anything at all. Because when you're under bankruptcy, you don't tell the banker what to do. They tell you what to do. Give me control over a nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws. Okay, there's your statement given by the parasite. That's one of the many statements the parasite has spoken over time. So truth may not turn out to be what you thought it would be or what you wanted it to be. Nevertheless, the truth is the truth. So you can't bend it to fit your agenda, and you can't twist it away from being what it really is, because the truth is the truth. It's a two-edged sword, and it's forged, and it's very hard steel. Okay? So, here's a quote that is important from the parasite. This is one that, you see, when I speak about things, I don't just want you to say, well, he told me this or he told me that, and not give you any proof about it. I told you that they call us what they really are, and I'm going to prove that to you now in just one more way. This is a quote from the parasite, the parasitic Jews. Now remember, they call the whites, the Caucasian people, white supremacists. Right? They say that we are white supremacists when we care about our race. So, they also preach equality of the races, as you well know by now. Yet there is no equality of the races. And yet, they say no race is equal to them. So in reality, they are the supremacists. They're not white supremacists because they're not white. They're Turco-Mongolian. And they're a mongrel race. And we already discussed that. Okay, here's your quote from Menachem Begin. He was the prime minister of Israel, 1977 to 83. Now, remember what I just told you a second ago. He says, this is quote, "Our race is the master race. We are divine gods on this planet. We are as different from the inferior races as they are from insects. In fact, compared to our race, other races are beasts and animals, cattle at best. Other races are considered as human excrement." Of course, you know that's as shite, if I may be so bold. Okay, so let me go on. "Our destiny is to rule over the inferior races. Our earthly kingdom will be ruled by our leader with a rod of iron." Now, where have you heard that before? Now, they're not talking about Yeshua or Jesus. "Our earthly kingdom will be ruled by our leader with a rod of iron. The masses will lick our feet and serve us as our slaves." So who, let me ask you now, who are the supremacists? Have you ever heard white people talk like that? I mean, maybe there's some nutbag somewhere that might say something like that. Only a parasitic Jew would ever make a comment like that. I happen to know that we are the Israelites and we are the chosen of God, but I wouldn't walk around trying to put people down about it and tell them I'm better than them. That's not the purpose of it. That shows you that this parasite is, out of balance, let's say. In other words, they really are literally mentally ill. I'm not just saying that they're mentally ill because of the things they say, the things they do, the way they act. I mean literally They are mentally ill people because of the race mixing, because of incest, because of all the crazy things that they do when they drink the blood of the children and all these things. All these, they have diseases that nobody else has. They've got a lot of problems with diseases, but they've got a lot of problems. The mental institutions were made for them. They weren't made for us. So I'm going to read this once again. I know, you know, I don't mean to, you just have to hear this. I want to make sure that you're hearing what you're hearing. This is the Prime Minister of Israel now. He's a nutbag. I don't even know if he's still alive or not. Our race is the master race. We are divine gods on this planet. We are as different from the inferior races as they are from insects. In fact, compared to our race, other races are beasts and animals, cattle at best. Other races are considered as human excrement. Our destiny is to rule over the inferior races. Our earthly kingdom will be ruled by our leader with a rod of iron. The masses will lick our feet and serve us as our slaves. Now, this is a corruption of what Yahweh really designed. Yes, our leader will rule with a rod of iron when Yeshua comes back. And we do have races that are beasts of the field. But there's nothing about master races and gods on the planet and all these crazy things. This guy is out of balance mentally. You can certainly see it from this statement. And it's a corruption at best. So I don't need to say, there's your proof. Now, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. You just tasted some of the filth that comes out of the mouth of the parasite Jew. And I frankly, I'm tired of listening to the Jew. The Jew comes out and says, calls for this and calls for that. I don't want to hear any more from him. I never was interested in them in the first place, and I never will be interested in them. Frankly, I want them out of my country and will be very pleased when Yahweh blots them out from this world, which he will do. They are nothing but a cancer to all who encounter them in any situation. Always done with smiles. You have to realize that this parasite knows how to manipulate. Not only is this parasite an expert chameleon, but it knows how to smile to win. David Lee Roth had said that years ago, and I might not have understood it at the time. He said, you've got to smile to win. Well, I understand it now completely as I see the politicians, as I see the evil Jew rattling off out of his pie hole, the nonsense that comes out of the mouths of those people. The lie after lie after lie after lie. I particularly don't want to hear lies anymore. I'm filled up to the top and overspilling from hearing lies. All I want to hear is the truth. The truth is much more important than the lies. You have to speak so many lies, but you could just be spoken a little bit of truth, and it means so much more than a sky full of lies, if you know what I mean. But I've about had it from these people. And hopefully sooner or later, you're going to about have it too. And you're not going to listen to it anymore. Never be afraid to be called a racist or an anti-Semite or any of these things. I'm not afraid of it. You know why? Because I don't care. After they call you this, what else can they do? All they're doing is calling names. So you call me a racist. I told you this word didn't even exist. They created this word to demonize people. They created the phrase, I'm not going to keep going into it, anti-Semitism. It's BS. It's a null and void term. It doesn't mean what you think it does, and there's no I would actually be angry if you call me that. You call me an anti-Semite, that means I hate my own people, the white people. I don't hate white people. I love my people. And it's very natural to love your race. I don't care what race you are. If you're black, you should love your race. If you're white, you should love your race. It's very natural. There is nothing wrong with that. You should care about your people. Of course you should. And don't let anybody tell you that you shouldn't. You know, when you look at the sea and you see the fish, they all swim in schools. They stay to themselves for the most part, unless they're feeding off another school of fish. But it's natural to be with your own kind. And there's nothing better than being with your own kind. It's just natural as it could possibly be. I remember growing up in America, and it was primarily my own kind. And I will never forget how wonderful that really was. I long for it again because it felt so natural. And we had our own problems, but nothing like the problems we have now, because this is unnatural to try to force people to live together. Everything that this parasite does is done through force, as we will see with communism and democracy as I speak about this in this message. So don't ever feel guilty for loving your own race. Whatever race you are, you should care about your own people. And it's very natural, and it's normal. You see, the Jew is not normal. The Jew has a messed up mind. It's an abnormal mind. You can tell by the television programs, Talmud Vision. You can tell these people aren't normal. You can tell they're feeding you garbage. This isn't our way. If the Jew wasn't in our society, we wouldn't be guilty of half of the sins that we're guilty of today. See, that's one of the things that this parasite does, is he knows, he's very jealous of the true Israelites, because he got to read the scriptures. Their scribes, which was a big mistake on our part, got involved in the writing of our scriptures at certain points. And they became jealous of our covenant, jealous of our place, jealous that we had eternal life, lost it, but will regain it again through Yeshua, who died on the cross, Yahweh in the flesh. They're very jealous of this. They also gave away their birthright through Esau, because Esau had no respect for his birthright. And here's how it happened. Nimrod was in charge of Babylon, and you know that he was against the Father. He was a mighty hunter against the face of Yahweh. He had Adam and Eve's clothes, which gave him the divine right to rule, supposedly. And one day, see, Esau was not interested in the things of the Father. He wanted to live and die by the sword. And this is exactly what he did. Nimrod was also a man who lived and died by the sword. So they were out in the woods one day, and Esau was out there. And he saw Nimrod. He ran over, very quickly, and chopped Nimrod's head off. He was then chased through the woods. He made it home. He must have been a fast runner, this fellow. He made it home, and that's when he sold his birthright for the bowl of pottage. So now, even though he sold the thing, he couldn't be trusted, you see. He was going to still try to take his birthright. So that's why his mother intervened, and Jacob, who became Israel, got the birthright. Well, ever since that has happened, Esau, the Edomites, the Jews of today, are jealous that we have the birthright. And so they've sort of tried to pretend that they've taken it by force, that they have the birthright. But they still don't have the birthright anyway. They're just conning themselves like they con themselves all the time, that they're going to win against Yahweh. They're building up all kinds of armaments. They think they're going to kill Yahweh. And they think they're going to win. But they're not going to win. And they always have been losers and will be the loser. This was foretold about, that Jacob's yoke would be taken off of Esau for a time. And that's the time we're in right now. Just so you'll know, later Esau was going to one of the burials, and he had made agreements with the Israelites, and he didn't keep his agreement, and one of the Israelites, I think it was a deaf man or a mute man, grabbed a sword, went out, and chopped Esau's head off, just like he did to Nimrod. See? Which proves Yeshua's words. If you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. Nimrod lived by the sword. He died by the sword. His head got chopped off. Esau lived by the sword. He died by the sword. Incidentally, they left his head in that field, and then they took his body to Edom to be buried. So that can be found in the Apocrypha. See, the Apocrypha is very important. That's why they took it out of the Bible. So I suggest you read the Apocrypha several times over, and you will find that it is very valuable. It was in the King James Version when the King James Version first came out. And they took it out because it reveals too many things. It reveals who the Israelites really are. These are racial books. The Bible is a racial book. It's a history book. His story, Israel. Okay, so let's move on here a little bit. This is very interesting, that there was a book by a man named Jonathan Williams. And he was in the army with George Washington. And this book is called Legions of Satan, and it was put out in 1781. Now, what's very interesting about this book is I've gone on Amazon.com. I've been looking for this book for years, and it would say currently not available. So it was available at one point. Now it's been told, and you can find it on the internet, that people have been searching for it in libraries, and it used to be in a lot of libraries, and now the book has virtually disappeared. It has disappeared. No, I can't find it anywhere. I hope somebody will find it, because obviously if it disappeared, it means that it is extremely important. This is one of the common things that the Jews do. They burn down libraries to hide information. They change the letters of words so that when you look for something, see, they call it the Zohar, right? But it was really called the Sohar. So by changing it to Z, you're out looking for the Zohar, but you can't find it. Or you can only find what they have put in place of it. But how I knew that was I found this technique out because of Albert Pike. Albert Pike writes about the Sohar, not the Zohar. So this is a technique they use. Like, you ever notice how the Kabbalah, the word Kabbalah, is spelled now several ways? This brings confusion, and this may set you on trails that are dead ends. Just by changing the letter of something, you can confuse an issue. Okay, I just wanted you to know that in your search for the truth, that you may not be able to find certain things because of that technique. It's very important to know. So in this book, General Cornwallis revealed to Washington that a holy war will now begin on America. Remember, this is 1781, this book came out. So a holy war will now begin on America. And when it is ended, America will supposedly be the citadel of freedom. But her millions will unknowingly be loyal subjects to the crown. As Chris Peed pointed out, which is an important thing, the crown is not the queen. The crown is that little city of London within the city of London, just like Washington, D.C., just like the Vatican. That's where the Templars went into England. They were the first international bankers, and that is the Jews. So Cornwallis went on to explain what would seem to be a self-contradiction. See, this would seem to be a self-contradiction to Judeo-Christians, but there's no self-contradiction to me. I understand fully what he's talking about here. See, because you're going to confuse, when I read the sentence, you're going to confuse the word Jew with Israelites. And that's where you go wrong. You can't confuse the two words. Never call a Jew an Israelite, and never call an Israelite a Jew. So here's what he says. They say that this is self-contradiction. Your churches will be used to teach the Jews religion. And in less than 200 years, the whole nation will be working for divine world government. Has that happened? I love asking stupid questions. Has that happened? Do we not call it Judeo-Christianity? I mean, I don't call it that because it's diametrically opposed to one another. In other words, you can't have, that's like calling it the good evil religion. Well, the evil good religion, really, in reality, right? So, number one problem is it's a religion. Number two problem is it's the Jews' religion. And the Jews' religion has nothing to do with Yahweh. Has nothing to do. Moses was never called a Jew. Adam was never called a Jew. Isaiah was never called a Jew. Ad nauseum. So your churches will be used to teach the Jews religion. In less than 200 years, the whole nation will be working for divine world government. Okay, divine world government. Is America working for divine world government? Well, it's got the very heart of the divine world government. There's nothing divine about it unless you're saying that the devil is divine. We have the UN here. You know, UN stands for one in French. Un. UN. See? So that building is right in our country, so that supposedly is going to control this one world government. But what is the government of this one world government? Well, it's democracy. Really, it's communism. But I'm going to explain to you how this works, how it goes. But I'm going to go on here with this for right now. So you see that America is working, is teaching the Jews religions because all the Christians here don't even know that they're Israelites. And they are supporting the Jews, which are the enemies of the Israelites, have always been, and the enemies of God himself, Yahweh. This is happening. Your churches will be used to teach the Jews' religion, and in less than 200 years, the whole nation will be working for divine world government. You see, we're spreading democracy. we'll go into a country and we'll kill millions of people so we can bring them democracy. We want to make them free. And by killing them, we have freed them. See, we freed them from their body. But that's not nice. And that's not the way you bring in freedom. I mean, unless you're fighting like the American Revolution to be free, then death is okay. Sometimes you have to spill some blood to become free. However, that's not the case. We're going over there spilling blood to force somebody into democracy. And I'm going to prove to you in this message that democracy only leads down one road and only takes you one place. That's why it was called the vilest form of government. Remember last week I told you about the Hegelian dialect. I'm going to go in this later, but I want you to think about this right now. This is something that, as I teach you things, I learn things as well. See, I knew that democracy is a code word for socialism, and that the next progression of socialism is communism. That's what the UN is. It's a communist organization. It has in its books that it always has to be run by a communist, just in case you don't know that. So when you have the Hegelian dialect working, and we talked about it last week, I told you about it last week, you have the two sides, the thesis fighting against the antithesis. Now, it doesn't matter how long this takes. For some countries, it takes longer than others. But, you know, in the beginning of the Democratic Party, it probably was for the people. It probably acted like it was for the people. It probably listened to the people. I want you to see how slick this is and how sly this filthy, rotten murderer is. Now, on the other side, the Republican Party, who wanted to keep the republic, they were conservative people. They probably were conservative. They probably cared about the country. They probably did. They wanted to keep it the way it was and not let it go further than the boundary it was already at. But you see, I told you, in the process of these two entities fighting one another, the thesis and the antithesis, there's a natural synthesis. I told you this. So what is this telling you about the synthesis? It doesn't matter how long it takes this synthesis to happen. What the progression is you have three parties. Eventually, they become under the control of the liberal nutcase Jew. Then they infiltrate the other party and pretend they're conservatives, and they become what's known as neocons. Now they've got control of that party. It's no different than the other party. And the third party that they used to, I told you about that last week, they used to sway the vote, let's say. All three parties are now the same. So now it's really one party. There's three parties. We're acting like there's three parties. And you may vote for one party or you may vote for the other party. But still you're voting for the party. And guess whose party it is? It isn't your party. Because now they're not listening to the people. They haven't been listening to the people. 80% of the people in the American public don't want any of the things that have gone on in the last 150 years. We don't want any of this stuff. We don't want gay marriage. We don't want our borders open. We don't want Federal Reserves. We don't want to be enslaved by a federal government. But nevertheless, it's going to go on anyway. And why is that? Because this road leads that way. Once you're on the road to democracy and you're heading down that road, unless there's a revolution or unless there's some way to alter that path, you're on the road to total slavery. However long it might take. Now we have Iraq just became a democracy or is in the process of becoming a democracy. I wonder how long until it's communist. I don't think it'll last as long as America. I'm not saying Iraq as a country won't last. I'm saying that it probably won't take too long for them to be in abject slavery because of the progression I just told you. See why democracy is not good? Do you understand that? That's why they got rid of the monarchs. That's why they got rid of the republic. This road only leads to one end, and that is your slavery, your total slavery. So I'm going to go on and explain this to you a little later when we discuss the Hegelian dialect with another aspect, a different thesis, a different antithesis. Okay? I hope you understand what I just told you, because that is a valuable piece of information. This is why Yahweh does not want politics, but this is why the Jew wants politics. This is why the Jew wants to have politics involved in our world. Last week I told you we don't need it. When you have Yahweh's laws, Yahweh has everything laid out and laid out perfectly. There's no need to change Yahweh's laws. It's forbidden to change Yahweh's laws. Therefore, there is no need for the political system. You may need judges, a judicial system, but you do not need a political system. And it is anti-Yahweh. And these men are in direct disobedience. And that just brings me back. I wanted to mention this to you. See, this parasite knows all these things, right? So by getting the Israelite people to get involved in things like this, that brings the judgment on us. You see, the parasite, he knows that he's cooked at the end of all this. So it doesn't matter if he lies, cheats. It doesn't matter if he kills one person or a billion people. The outcome is going to be the same. I don't know about the level of punishment when it comes down to it, though. It may not be the same. It may be the more you do, the heavier the punishment for good. But they will be stubble. They know this, and all they're trying to do is cause you to disobey Yahweh, you see? And when we do that, we get the judgment, the same judgment as the parasite will get. Yahweh tells us about these things many times, not to get involved with these people. Why do you think that General Washington, you know, why they had the Monroe Doctrine? It's none of my business what goes on in England. It's none of my business what goes on in Iraq. It's none of my business, none of this country's business. Yet we've made it our business. And we're going to force democracy on every country of the world, whether they like it or not. Forced freedom? Does that sound like something doesn't sound right about that to me? Forced freedom. Are you hearing me? Listen, people out there, are you hearing what I'm telling you? Are you getting this? Is this getting through to your cranial cavity? If you don't understand this, I'm not, Mr. Brains. I'm giving it to you as a common man would present it to you. That's what I am, a common man. And very happy to be one. I don't need to be anything else but a common man. That's fine by me. So I'm trying to get this through to you to make you understand. Intellect can be a detriment. So this, we're forcing freedom upon the world. We're going to force it on them. See, but I told you where the road leads to. So we really are forcing slavery. See, America is not forcing freedom on Iraq. America is not forcing freedom on all these other countries. America is forcing. And guess who's going to be responsible for that, my friends? Guess who's responsible for us doing the Jews' will and doing the Jews' work? You. And I will also be responsible. Which means we might be cooked. This isn't good. And if we continue to listen to the Jew and see, this is what Hitler was trying to avoid. He tried to get England to stop listening to the Jews and America to stop listening to the Jews. How do you like it, folks, when you find out, the truth about Germany and you find out that you not only killed your brothers who were trying to help you, who were merciful towards you, and you gave your brothers no mercy. You listened to the Jew instead of listening to your brother, your brothers, and you treated them the way you treated them after the war. We did. Do you realize how much trouble we are in with the Heavenly Father? You wonder why we're in slavery right now and heading further into slavery? The more you listen to the Jew, the more you will go into slavery. You see, one of the things that Germany had to pay this price for was they allowed the Jews into their country and treated them like citizens. They gave them all the rights citizens had. And what did the Jew do in turn? He showed no mercy and tried to kill every German on the planet, and still is working on it today. So when you let the Jew into your country, and your America's another country that let him in, you know, and we welcome them there, we don't hassle them. They have right, they have freedom and rights and everything. And what are they doing to our country? They enslaved our country. They've stolen the gold. I don't even have to list all these things, people. If you can't understand this, it's right in front of your face. You know, I often tell people, you know, it's like there's a wall of glass between you and your brothers, and you're banging on the glass and you're telling them, warning, warning, you know, like the robot, Will Robinson, danger, danger, Will Robinson. You see, but you're not listening. They can't hear us through the glass. They don't want to hear us. They just turn the other way and watch the Talmud vision. Or they'll turn the other way and, you know, go to the sports game. These things are more important than the truth. There's nothing more important than a ball game. You do understand that, don't you? I mean, to know all the stats of a player is, I mean, that's just the most important thing you could know. Truth is just, you know, you know, one man's garbage is another man's gold. So let's go on from here. So let me just refresh you so I can take you along this again. Your churches will be used to teach the Jews religion, and in less than 200 years, the whole nation will be working for divine world government. That government that they believe to be divine will be the British Empire. This is what Cornwallis said. All religions will be permeated with Judaism without even being noticed by the masses. Is that the way it is? That certainly is the way it is. The Judeo-Christian doesn't even know that he's blessing God's enemies. And they will all be under the invisible, all-seeing eye of the grand architect of Freemasonry. That is Satan, Hillel. Lucifer is a Latin term, and the name is Hillel. He has many names anyway, whether it's female or male, but we'll go into that sometime. But he is known as the grand architect of Freemasonry. Oh, boy. And indeed, George Washington himself was a Mason, and he gave back through a false religion what he had won with his army. In other words, he gave back America. Cornwallis well knew that his military defeat was the only the beginning of world catastrophe that would be universal, and that unrest would continue until mind control could be accomplished through a false religion. It's funny how Cornwallis knew all this. Doesn't that show you that, remember I said we've had many warnings? here it is again. A man had warned George Washington. What he predicted has come to pass. A brief sketch of American religious history, and we have seen Masonry infused into every church in America with their veiled phallic religion. Phallic, you know what that means. That's what the obelisk is. That's the penis of Osiris. That's what the G stands for in Masonry. It stands for many things. They'll tell you it means God. But what it means is the generative principle, which is the phallus. It's how we procreate. It stands for geometry. It stands for several things. Darby and the Plymouth Brethren, now these are Christians, supposed Christians, brought a Jewish Christianity to America. Masons Rutherford and Russell, I told you about Taft Russell with the Jehovah Witnesses. Masons Rutherford and Russell started Jehovah Witnesses. Judaism, which is now worldwide with their message of the divine kingdom. Mason Joseph Smith started more. I told you the Jews have been involved in creating all the religions. Now I'm proving to you right here, proving to you that the Jews, through Freemasonry, you know, which is a trap for men, trap for Anglo-Saxon men, they'll work through that. Okay, so Mason Joseph Smith started Mormon Judaism with its Jewish teaching of millennialism. They practiced the first 3 degrees of Freemasonry. At the turn of the 20th century, there appeared the Scofield Bible with a Jewish interpretation of the prophecies. With wide use of this helpful aid, all the American churches have silently become synagogues. We now have Baptist Jews, Methodist Jews, Church of God Jews, apostate Catholic Jews, and many Protestant Jews throughout America. We are aliens in our own country because of false religion. All are praying for divine deliverance into that divine government which Cornwallis knew to be the British Empire. A false religion has been used to deceive us into allegiance to our enemies of Yorktown and Bunker Hill. No, not a gun has been fired, but the invisible and malignant process of conquering America with the Jews' religion has gone on unabated. The Union Jack has been planted in our hearts with religious deception. All has happened legally, constitutionally, freely, and completely with our most sacred trust, our churches. Religious deception is painless inoculation against truth. It cannot be removed from our conscience with surgery, yet it is the motivator of our actions and directly controls our lives. Once a man gives over to false religion, he is no longer rational because he originates no thought. His life is controlled by whomever controls his religion. See, this is an important thing to remember. Never follow men. Never be a follower of men. Always follow Yahweh. When you follow men, you get yourself in trouble. Most of the time. Unless you had a Moses. In that case, that's different. But how does one know you have another Moses? The veil of false religion is the sword of Damocles. And its power to control humanity defies even the imagination of tyrants who use it. This is not to say that George Washington was a traitor willingly or knowingly. He was beguiled into a satanic religious order that insidiously controls men's minds. So have American statesmen and military leaders down through the years given aid and allegiance to the enemies of the United States because they did not have the knowledge of the invisible subterfuge that stalks this land. My eyes were opened the day my colleague from Ohio handed me Wagner's Freemasonry, an Interpretation. I guess you should get that book and read it. Wagner's Freemasonry, an Interpretation. Okay. If every American would read it, they would no longer ask why and how it happened. This same thing was given by Senator Joseph McCarthy, what I was just reading you, 6 months before his mouth was closed forever. Okay, on we go. Communism was created as the opposite of capitalism. Division is always in the agenda of the parasitic Jew. Remember, they were able to divide all of the religions into all those different... It's just amazing to me. So, communism was created as the opposite of capitalism. Now, that should give you a little clue about something there. Thesis, antithesis. We'll come to that in a second. So modern-day communism is based on the writings of two German, but they were Jew, economists, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, who answered the question, what is communism? In their collaboration, the Communist Manifesto, published in 1848, in it they declare that many problems in society are due to the unequal distribution of wealth. To bring about happiness and prosperity for all, the boy is this book. The distinctions between the rich and the poor of society must be eliminated. And since the rich will never give up their goods or status voluntarily, a rebellion of the poor, the working class, is necessary. Thus, communism is distinct socio-political philosophy that is willing to use violent means. Hello. Communism is a distinct socio-political philosophy that is willing to use violent means to attain its goal of classless, of a classless society. We're spreading democracy by force, freedom by force. Dig it? If capitalism is defined as a social system based on individual rights and individual wealth, then communism is its direct opposite. Communism believes in equality through force. In its system, individual rights are ground to powder and used to build its idol of absolute government control. It is indeed like the tusk of an elephant. It is sharp, it is dangerous, and it has gored millions of men in its rage through history. Communism embraces atheism and dismisses religion as the opiate of the masses, a system designed by the rich and powerful to keep the poor in their place. Now, let's get something straight here. Let me just finish this sentence here, though. But communism's quest for a classless society is bound to fail. As Frank Zappa, 60s rock star, succinctly said, communism doesn't work because people like to own stuff. Furthermore, someone has to hold the money bag, even in a communist-style society, and whoso holds the bag becomes not only the target for those looking on, but for subtle interior demons of pride, avarice, and self-preservation. If there will always be the poor, then there will always be the rich. There will always be division, the haves and the have-nots. In any attempt to establish a classless society this side of heaven, particularly through the violent and godless ways of communism, is destined to frustration and failure. So, how interesting is that? Hybridization, the Hegelian dialect. Let's think about capitalism. Who are the capitalists of our world today? Why? Who owns all the companies? Who owns the television stations? Who owns everything practically? The Jew. The Jew is the primary capitalist. But who created communism? Why? It's the Jews. I bet you never would have guessed that, because they told you that communism is Judaism. Now we have the Hegelian dialect here again. And you've got capitalism as the thesis. And you've got communism as the antithesis. I bet you know where this might end up. So why do we have this one? You know that there's going to be a synthesis of these two systems, capitalism and communism, which there is in America today. I want you to realize that the parasite is heavily involved in hybridization of human beings, hybridization of governments, hybridization of everything. You notice how you hear those words, hybrid and fusion, today a lot? You hear those words all the time, correct? So if what happens with the synthesis of these two, capitalism and communism? Well, the Jew, as the capitalist, will get to still keep all of his money because he will be at the top rung. He won't be the proletariat. But he will also, through the communist side of this hybridization, have full control over the 97% of the people on earth in abject slavery. Now, I mean, this ought to kind of ring a bell. This is where we're heading and where we actually are at this moment. We're already at the point where America is, and I'm going to prove it to you right now. America already is a capitalist nation, and we're already living under the 10 planks of communism, though you don't even know it. So I just wanted to hit you with this real quick because I knew this to be true. This is from the Book of Enoch, chapter 86. And again I saw with mine eyes as I slept, and I saw the heaven above, and behold, a star fell from heaven, and it arose and eat and pastured among those oxen. And after that I saw the large and black oxen. And behold, they all changed their stalls and pastures and their cattle, and began to live with each other. And again I saw in the vision, and looked towards the heaven, and behold, I saw many stars descend and cast themselves down from heaven. These are angels. To that first star. And they became bulls among those cattle. In other words, they started to have sex with them and sin against them, as the Bible puts it. So they became bulls amongst those cattle and pastured with them amongst them. And I looked at them and saw, and behold, they all let out their privy members. You know what your privy member is, don't you, gentlemen? Like horses, and began to cover the cows of the oxen. And they all became pregnant. Now dig this. And bare elephants, camels, and asses. An ass is a donkey, correct? And an elephant is, see, these are the elephants, camels, and asses. These are the offsprings of the angels having sex with animals. In other words, God didn't create those three beasts. And all the oxen feared them and were affrighted at them, the angels, and began to bite with their teeth and devour, and gore with their horns. And they began, moreover, to devour those oxen. And behold, all the children of the earth began to tremble and quake before them and flee from them. Now, I want you to just think about this, because this dawned on me one day, and I was trying to tell this to some people, and I knew this was right, and it is. What is the Democratic Party's logo? It's an ass, isn't it? It's a donkey, isn't it? With the Star of Amalek on it, right? Now, there's your one party. Now, this is a hybrid. Now, this isn't a God-created animal. Yahweh didn't create this animal. And what is the Republican Party logo? It's an elephant. with the Star of Amalek. And now, as of recent times, they've turned the stars upside down now, by the way. So they have told you that they are a hybrid people, these Jews, that they are a mixed race, mongrel race, and they've shown you in their political parties who represents them, hybrid creatures. I want you to think on that for a while. It ought to ring all kinds of bells. All right, let me move on now because time is always running. This is an article called "Are Americans Practicing Communism?" Okay. Karl Marx describes his Communist Manifesto, the 10 steps necessary to destroy a free enterprise system and replace it with a system of omnipotent government power so as to effect a communist socialist state. Those 10 steps are known as the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. The following brief presents the original 10 planks within the Communist Manifesto written by Karl Marx, a Jew, a parasite, in 1848, along with the American adopted counterpart for each of the planks. From its comparison, it's clear most Americans have, by myths, fraud, and deceptions, under the color of law by their own politicians in both the Republican and Democratic parties, have been transformed into communists. Another thing to, this is what McCarthy was trying to prevent. That's why they killed him. Another thing to remember, Karl Marx, in creating the Communist Manifesto, designed these planks as a test to determine whether a society has become communist or not. If they are all in effect and in force, then the people are practicing communists. Communism, by any other name, is still communism and is very, very destructive to the individual and to the society. The 10 planks stated in the Communist Manifesto and some of their American counterparts are: plank number 1, abolition of private property and the application of all rents of land to public purposes. I know that's going on in England. I know it's going on in America. Americans do these with actions such as the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, 1868, and various zoning, school, and property taxes. Also, the Bureau of Land Management zoning laws are the first step to a government property ownership. Do we have that in America? Yes, we do. That's number 1. There's only 9 left. Second one. Geez, I wonder if England has this one. A heavy progressive or graduated income tax. Americans know this as misapplication of the 16th Amendment of the Constitution, which is illegal. It's not legal at all. It's illegal to put a direct tax on the people. 1913, the Social Security Act of 1936, Joint House Resolution 192 of 1933, and various state income taxes. We call it paying your fair share. Is that going on in America? Why, of course it is. That's number 2. There's only 8 left now. Abolition of all rights of inheritance. Americans call it federal and state estate tax, 1916, or reformed probate laws and limited inheritance via arbitrary inheritance tax statutes. Is this going on in America? Yes, it is. Confiscation of the property of all emigrants and rebels. Americans call it government seizures, tax liens. Public Law 99-570, 1986. Executive Order 11,490, Sections 1205, 2002, which gives private land to the Department of Urban Development. The imprisonment of terrorists and those who speak out or write against the government. 1997 Crime Terrorist Bill, or the IRS confiscation of property without due process. Asset forfeiture laws are used by the DEA, IRS, and ATF, etc. We've already got four of them right now. Those are going on in America, and I believe you've got those going on in all your countries too, people of Israel. Five, centralization of credit in the hands of the state by the by the means of a national bank, the Federal Reserve, get it? With state capital and an exclusive monopoly. Americans call it the Federal Reserve, which is a privately owned credit debt system allowed by the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. All local banks are members of the FED Fed system and are regulated by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, another privately owned corporation. The Federal Reserve banks issue fiat paper money and practice economically destructive fractional reserve banking. We've got five of out of the 10 now. I guarantee you all 10 are here, so I'm not going to keep repeating that, but I think you're starting to get the idea. You'll know whether in your countries you have it, and I know you do. See, that's the only reason we want to get Iran. Not we, the Jews want to get Iran. That's why they got Libya, and they want to get North Korea. I think those are the only two places now left without a central bank. That's why they wanted Iraq. Now Iraq has a central bank, by the way, people. They're already working their way to communism, and they're just starting out as the fresh new democracy. So you can see that what I've told you is the truth here, and it ought to blow your mind that it's right in front of your face and you don't even know what's going on. So the number six plank of the Communist Manifesto, centralization of the means of communications and transportation in the hands of the state. Well, of course we have that. Americans call it the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, and Department of Transportation, DOT, mandated through the ICC Act of 1887. See how long this has been going on? The Commissions Act of 1934, the Interstate Commerce Commission established in 1938, the Federal Aviation Administration, Federal Communications Commission, and Executive Orders 11490, 10999, and as well the state-mandated driver's licenses and Department of Transportation regulations. So there's another one. Let's move on to seven. Extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state, the bringing into cultivation of wastelands, and the improvement of soil generally in accordance with a common plan. You do realize that when Obama came in, that they bought into GMC, right? Americans call it corporate capacity, the Desert Entry Act, and the Department of Agriculture, thus read, controlled or subsidized rather than owned. This is easily seen in these as well as the Department of Commerce and Labor, Department of Interior, the Environmental Protection Agency, protection again, they're protecting somebody, but it isn't you and I, Bureau of Land Management, Bureau of Reclamation, Bureau of Mines, National Park Service, and the IRS control of business through corporate regulations. It's all there, folks. It's all there. Number eight, equal ability of all to labor, establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture. Americans call it minimum wage and slave labor. Like dealing with our most favored nation trade partner, Communist China. We see it in practice in the Social Security Administration and the Department of Labor. The national debt and inflation caused by the Communist Communal Bank has caused the need for two-income family, woman in the workplace since 1920s, and 19th Amendment of the Constitution, Civil Rights Act of 1964, assorted socialist unions, affirmative action, which doesn't work, never will work, and never can work, and the Federal Public Works Program, and of course, the Executive Order 11,000. Nine, the ninth plank of the Communist Manifesto, combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries, gradual abolition of the distinction between town and country by a more equitable distribution of population over the country. Hello, Agenda 21, anybody? Americans call it Planning Reorganization Act of 1949, zoning title 17, 1910 through 1990, and super corporate farms as well as executive orders 11647, 11731, 10 regions, and public law 89 through 136. These provide for forced relocations and forced sterilization programs like in China. 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. Free education. Hello. Free education for all children except white people. Free education for all children in public schools. Abolition of children factory labor in its present form. Yeah, right. Combination of education with industrial production. Americans are being taxed to support what we call public schools, but are actually government-forced tax-funded schools. See? Force. We're going to force this education into your head. This isn't going to be education that is of any value to you. This is indoctrination, as I told you last week. Even the private schools are government regulated. The purpose is to train the young to work for communal debt system. What did I tell you last week? We also call it the Department of Education, the NEA, and outcome-based education. These are used so that all children can be indoctrinated and inculcated with the government propaganda, like majority rules, pay your fair share. Where are the words fair share in the Constitution, Bill of Rights, or Internal Revenue Code, Title 26? Nowhere, that's where. Nowhere is fair share even suggested. The philosophical concept of fair share comes from the communist maxim, from each according to their ability, to each according to their need. This concept is pure socialism. America has made the greatest society by its private initiative, work ethic, teaching ourselves and others how to fish and be self-sufficient. That's one of the things the Jew doesn't want. I told you farms were important and you would be independent. The Jew hates independence. The Jew wants interdependence because he can make the money off. He can serve as the middleman in interdependence between countries. The last thing they want you to be is self-sufficient or to be independent. So we declared in America the Declaration of Independence, which I told you is also a Declaration of Independence to God, which I particularly don't like. But the Jew, through his communist, see, we always do everything the opposite, they have written the Articles of Interdependence, which is known as the Declaration of Interdependence, which means that that's why America buys oil from Saudi Arabia. We don't need any oil from Saudi Arabia. We have all the oil you could want in America. We could supply the whole country with oil from America. This is why you buy your vegetables from somebody else rather than having your own farmers, because we don't want the farmers. Then the Jew can make profit, you see, by becoming the middleman or the middleman or whatever it is. This ensures that we'll never have a Germany again. Teaching ourselves and others how to fish and be self-sufficient and produce plenty of extra commodities, if so desired, could be shared with others who might be needy. Americans have always voluntarily been the most generous and charitable society on the planet. See, now, what does that say? Americans have always been, right? We were a white country. We are the Israelites. We have always been a blessing to all nations. Let me read it to you. Americans have always voluntarily been the most generous and charitable society on the planet. The white man, the Caucasian. That's who's doing the work in this country. You don't see Negroes trying to help people in Africa, do you? We are the seed of Abraham. We have been the blessing to all nations. It's very clear and it's right in front of your face. I don't care how you try to doctor it and try to change it. I told you the truth is the truth. It's a two-edged sword. You aren't going to be able to change it. So here's what it lasts, what he says right here. Do changing words change the end result? That's kind of funny that this says this. By using different words, it is all of the sudden okay to ignore or violate provisions or intent of the Constitution of the United States of America. The people, politicians who believe in the socialistic and communistic concepts, especially those who pass more and more laws implementing these slavery ideas, are traitors to their oath of office and to the Constitution of the United States of America. Know your enemy, remove the enemy from within and from among us. See, they're also traitors to Yahweh. So he's trying to tell you to vote libertarian in this article. I'm not even going to bother with that part. But here's what I'll tell you why communism doesn't work. Say I work 50 hours a week. And you sit home on the couch and watch cartoons. And you get paid the same as me. Well, how long am I going to continue to go to work before I say, wait a minute here. It doesn't matter how hard I work. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm still going to get the same pay as the guy watching cartoons at home. Now, I have work ethic, and I would always work. But that saps all will to work anymore because there's no incentive. See, the Jew doesn't understand the Israelites. The Jew doesn't work. The Jew doesn't want to do any work. He wants to sell goods. He doesn't make goods. He sells goods for a profit. You know what kind of things they do. Then they're totally the opposite of the Israelites, whom we are. It doesn't work. Communism just doesn't work. It never will work. It might work down there. You see, Catholicism is communism, okay? They're always the most successful in those communist countries like down Mexico or down that way. Or, you know, there's some countries in Europe where Catholics are big. It doesn't usually work in white nations. It didn't work in Russia. They found out what's going on. So people, I've given you a look at politics. You better understand that when we're forcing freedom upon the world, what America's truly doing, and I'm ashamed to say this, I love America, and this is not what Yahweh intended for America. Sooner or later, you're going to have to listen to what Hitler said, soldiers of the world. And stop listening to the Jew. Sooner or later, soldiers, police, and all the rest of you, sooner or later, you better stop following the Jew and stop listening to the Jew. That's what I recommend, as soon as possible. You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. Until next time, study to show thyself approved.